Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In this, our 34th foray into the grown-ups cinematic universe, we are joined by a guest who, they just bring it, man. You know, you talk about cinephiles, and I have really bad retention, so a lot of information, you know, it comes in and goes straight out. But Dom Corry, listening back to this, he's just he's an endless data source. And also, you know, it shares a mantra, which is something I've taken with me from this specific episode of this podcast into every movie, which is you have to meet a movie on its terms. So I think some welcome respite for Tim and I in 2014, and presumably also for you in whatever year you're listening to this. 2024 would be my guess. Enjoyable episode, learning about Arnie, talking a lot about Schneider. I actually looked up, Rob Schneider's got a, I haven't told Tim this yet, he's got a sitcom, I didn't know about it, called Rob. Not real Rob, not the one we've covered, just called Rob. One season, 8 episodes. I'm just saying that he did that. I'd call them, I suppose, teasers about the Rob Schneider that we've all come to know in the intervening decade. But yeah, really great episode. Thank you so much to Dom for joining us. I thought he was funny and illuminating, and I hope you do too.
Worst Idea of All Time, episode
34,
with myself, Tim Batt.
Me, Guy Montgomery, and a very special guest.
Hi, it's Dominic Corry here. Very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, the Dominic Corry, professional movie reviewer of...
Yeah, you could say that.
You are. What do you mean you could say that? It's 100% true.
Well, you could say it because it's true, yes.
Touche.
And you have his permission.
Touche. Now, yes, you're here.
I felt if I agreed with that, it was being self-aggrandizing.
Okay, fair
on some
enough.
Level.
Oh, so. You're such a classic New Zealander, Dom.
Yeah, I know.
Just a bloody classic.
Holding kid. Back. So.
First thoughts on the movie, Dom. We've seen it 34 times. You've seen it twice now?
This is my second time. I saw it out of choice the first time because I do like Adam Sandler when at times.
Just
I have
eat that of... mic up, by the way, brother.
Okay, cool. I was before I watched it the second time, I was in a position of... sometimes almost occasionally defending this movie to people.
Sure.
Because I had a kind of a mild affection for it, just because it seemed to be the film at which everyone's cynicism about Adam Sandler kind of reached the tipping point, and everyone was like, boy, he really doesn't make an effort anymore, does he? And it's kind of like, well, he hasn't been for a while, you could say, if that's your argument about his style of films. But I always sort of felt like a slight defender of it, because as I was saying to you guys before, there's something kind of... you can tell it's just whatever he found funny.
Yeah.
And it's just his mates sitting around cracking each other up. There's something weirdly endearing about that to me. But however, having watched it again...
yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
See, this is like how I, for years and years and years, kept defending the second two Matrix movies. And then recently, about a month ago, I watched both of them again over a weekend. And I was like, oh... they're terrible. Right, like this whole time I've been really...
Well, it's more that just, I think, I still have the mild affection for Grown Ups 2 that I had before. I just, it's not a film you want to watch again. You know, it doesn't really hold up.
34 times, my friend.
So yeah. What do you remember what you were thinking when you walked out of the cinema the first time you saw it?
I watched it on DVD.
Do you remember what you were thinking when you were
thinking, I snickered at certain points. These are the reasons I like the film. I like David Spade. It has a very prominent role for David Spade.
Yes.
I find the whole idea of the fact that Adam Sandler films are just him sitting around with his mates cracking each other up, I find that weirdly endearing on a certain level. I kind of like the idea that he's only satisfying himself. He's not concerned about an audience or the executives or anything. It's just whatever stupid crap cracks him up. And some of the jokes in Grown Ups 2, definitely you can sort of think the only reason that's in there is because it cracks Adam Sandler up for no good reason.
Can you do the Adam Sandler impression that accompanied that during the film?
The Adam Sandler
just
impression.
The laughter where you went, let's keep it in.
Oh, right. Yeah. I can't even remember. No, I can't.
It's very
do it again.
Of,
I can't remember
of the
doing
moment.
It again.
But that's the beauty of having your own production company, I guess. You get to make those kind of shots about your movies and no one can tell you to fuck off.
And he probably has quite a lot of freedom, but the first Grown Ups made a lot of money and
this one made a shitload of money too.
Yeah. So have they announced a third one?
Okay. I'm so glad you brought that up. No, they haven't announced it, but it is almost certainly coming out in 2016, I think. So they're probably looking for a summer release.
It's funny because he just signed that deal with Netflix didn't he? Four movie. I wonder if it'll be part of that. Surely the people.
Absolutely, it will be.
But maybe Warner Brothers still have the rights to make the sequel to that or something. Or maybe Happy Madison maintains
it. Well, that's
it.
The thing. I would think that for an existing franchise like Grown Ups, it's probably not part. It couldn't be part of that. And the Netflix, but like, as much as we talk about how they shat out this film, and they did, like, it's probably was shot over a couple weekends. I've seen 48-hour films with more artistic integrity than this.
It's about as plotless as films get.
Yeah, but the Netflix 4 deal thing, I think that they will be fucking phoning it in. I think Adam Sandler will be phoning it in even more than he's phoning it in with Grown Ups 2 for those four movies.
Well, I mean,
he'll make them concurrently. He'll like run from one stage to another with his shooting.
Yeah, because it's unclear if they'll even come out at the movies yet.
Oh, I think
people are thinking that they might get a token day and date release. But yeah, you'd imagine that if
I would think they wouldn't, eh?
Why not?
Because it's a Netflix deal, so surely the whole point
is Netflix
that
get to release it.
Yeah, but I think there's an argument to be made for a high profile film like that might benefit from the awareness that a cinematic release generates. I'm just saying that it hasn't. They haven't come down either way. Like that,
right? They haven't announced for certain that it's a Netflix exclusive.
And it would be beneficial. Like you could say no, but it's just about driving people to the thing for the exclusivity. But all of Netflix movies came out at the movies first, and that helps films become known about.
I guess that's true.
I'm just saying there's an argument there for it. Probably won't happen. But yeah, it made me think that. I can't imagine Warner Brothers wanting to relinquish the possibility of releasing Grown Ups 2, 3.
It's Golden Goose.
But yeah, there's so little to it. It's taking that idea of Adam Sandler just sitting around cracking him and his friends up to the nth degree in that.
What is
so
three
little,
or the Netflix
this one?
Deal?
This one. This
oh,
one. Just
oh,
this,
two.
This,
yeah, yeah,
this
right.
film. Sorry, I'm back to the film itself.
It's hard to keep up. Sometimes, you move at a lightning pace.
Yeah, it's just that's both what's endearing about it and probably what's kind of shit about it.
Yeah, I know what you mean though. It does create a spirit, a very true spirit of, albeit very juvenile.
Childish, infantile,
very,
idiotic humor.
Very unfiltered. You are seeing the world through Sandler's eyes. You are seeing what Adam
through Sandler tinted glasses.
Yeah, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. The most awkward thing about that as a style of comedy is now there are kids involved because he's a family man, and so that's his world. And so
children
back when
shouldn't
the
exist
yeah,
in this
it's
world.
True, it's true. I as I was saying before, I really liked That's My Boy. I thought that was a massive return to form for him, but he's made a lot of stinkers recently, and they've all got some horrible family vibe, like Just Go With It and
blended.
Bedtime Stories.
Blended
was the worst. I saw that at the movies.
that was
brutal. That makes Grown Ups 2 look like Grown Ups 1, and it makes Grown Ups 1 look like Happy Gilmore.
Jesus. Was that Selma Hayek or was that
Drew Barrymore?
Barrymore, that's right.
Drew Barrymore.
Jesus.
I saw them doing an interview for that on the Ellen show, and it was just not a good watch at all. And then at the end, they took a selfie. Drew Barrymore did a plug for her own Instagram on the Ellen show. Come on, you're Drew Barrymore. You shouldn't be plugging your own Instagram on
TV.
That
is kind of pathetic.
That is fucking low. That is low. We're embarrassed to mention our Twitter tags on this podcast, and this podcast sucks dick.
This podcast is fantastic.
Yeah, the biggest shock for me is that I was kind of like, oh, it'll be fun to watch that again because it's a crummy comedy and I have a weird affection for crummy comedies.
Yeah, you do.
And we'll be able to make fun of it with you guys. And so, and I was enjoying it like that for about the first hour and 10 minutes, but I just had forgotten how long that party scene is. It just goes on and on. And I just love the way this is. And then we'll culminate in a big party when everyone's dressed up.
Yeah, and we'll have a fight.
Yeah, there'll be a fight.
What was amazing to me is that you were watching it and then you realized the frat boys were arriving and there's going to be a fight. And you were like, oh, yeah, I forgot about the fight.
You were crystal.
You were really upset, but it's hilarious to me.
I thought we'd reached a climax by that point.
No, exactly. I mean, where is the thing that happens in the movie? Like,
yeah,
that's meant to be it. And you couldn't even remember that it existed in the first place.
The things that I laughed at most the first time I watched it, like genuinely laughed at, I thought a lot of the frat boy stuff was quite funny. Just the overly doing the handshakes and stuff
sure,
like that.
Sure, there's humor there.
Yeah, and I laughed at a lot of David Spade stuff. I think the stuff with his son, it's just weird enough to be funny a lot of the time.
This is why it was good to have you for the watch, because Guy and I have lost not only perspective on the movie, but reality generally a result of this thing. So it's good to bring in defender.
Actually, at one point, Dom, when I was watching the movie, your perception on how you were watching it, or just the way you explained it to me, actually altered the way I was looking at the comedy for about 10 minutes, and it was a much more enjoyable film. I think that you had, relative to us, I think you were having a pretty good time watching that.
Except for the last half hour, that was kind of miserable. interesting you mentioned reality, because I think... you know, these films, they do not take place in reality. They take place in some weird sitcom fuzzy land, like even more so than other Adam Sandler films, which stop short of having Family Guy-esque cutaways. Just.
He's gone quite fantastical with this one. Like, there's some real cartoon elements to it. Like, there's a particular sequence when the tire starts going loose and running through the town with David Spade's character inside of it. That is a real Simpsons couch gag.
A lot of the physical jokes... sort of would kill most of the people involved.
Yeah, man. Like, they kill Nick early in the film. Like, very early. They break his neck. And first of all, they hog tie him to the top of the bus, like hanging down, like some sort of vampire man. And then they drop the rope.
Kevin James drops the rope.
He's been
bullied by Adam Sandler and he wants to make an announcement when he comes into the bus. So he's like, all right, what's up, motherfuckers? Bam! I'm going to drop somebody on their neck.
Pulls the rope. Nick drops onto his head and from about a half a meter forward.
In a game of one-upmanship, Adam Sandler takes the bait and goes for it by accelerating the bus and saying, watch this. As Nick Swartzen's neck collides with the back of the bus.
So his body travels down the entire length of a school bus and then smashes into the rear of it, which would break his neck again. Like, if there was any hope of him being alive from the drop, he's dead now. Yeah. And if Adam Sandler's response to this as Lenny Fader is, you gotta respect that. That's what he says.
That's where we are now.
Some shallow part of me enjoyed the physical comedy of his body sliding down and hitting his head. I did. I snickered silently.
Did you let the reality seep into that, the kind of medical?
Well, what I think about when that ever happens is I think this is what they're probably doing to Nick Swartzen emotionally in real life when he hangs out with them. And so I feel like that's an effective cinematic representation of the way he would be treated.
Well, now, here's something interesting. Do you know that Nick Swartzen's character is supposed to be the brother of Rob Schneider's character from the first Grown Ups film?
They just never mention it.
How
do you know this?
It's in like the synopsis and stuff. They've got it in a lot of the promo material, but it's never referenced whatsoever in the film.
Now, we were discussing earlier why Rob Schneider wasn't involved. You saying because he got lowballed in the offer. Did you read that? Did you hear that?
That's what I've heard through the grown-up grapevine.
A lot of people send us articles through the Facebook page, and so we read quite a lot about the
Actually, you know what? I think I read somewhere that his wife was about to give birth. And he couldn't go away from her, which to me sounds like something you say when you said no and called their bluff and then they made the movie without you.
Fuck, the timeline does fit though, because you're right, he does have at least one young kid.
Yeah, I thought it might have had to do with that sitcom. Rob! that he stars
so
in.
So did they, okay, so you were telling
which
us
was
about
at the
Rob.
Same time. Rob.
That was his,
there's an exclamation mark in the title.
You, thank you, Dominic, for the correct pronunciation of Rob. God, that's retarded as well because it's such an interesting monosyllabic name to put an exclamation on.
Yes.
Rob. It wouldn't be, it'd be like Chris. That's kind of cool if it was Chris Rob.
It's true.
But it's Rob.
Yeah, but Rob Schneider is such a massive personality. You just got to put an exclamation mark.
I guess
on
I'm there. In a better position to judge whether or not the film suffers for his absence because you haven't seen the first one, right?
That's no,
right.
sir. Not once.
But you have seen him turning up in all those other Adam Sandler films. Do you think he brings something?
I love it when Rob Schneider turns up.
Oh, yeah. If we Rip his fucking head off. You can do it. Yeah. He's great.
You can do it is like a classic catchphrase from my formative years.
There's got to be an actual... It would seem weird that like all of Adam Sandler's films are about giving his buddies jobs.
Mm.
It would seem weird that then negotiations would break down.
Yeah. Oh, there's been a falling out, man. Because the thing with Rob Schneider is that he is very, like, Buddhist. He's been practicing Buddhist for at least 15 years.
Buddhist. He's been practicing Buddhist.
He's been practicing meditation, like very intense forms of meditation for a very long time, and he's very into the philosophies of it and stuff. And he's actually fucking nutty because I interviewed him, which is how I know about all the kind of Zen shit.
Oh, when he came over.
Yeah, but if you... he did a gig. He did stand-up here. Yeah. Yeah. He did a stand-up show, which I didn't go to.
Seven Sharp.
Did he?
Yeah.
Mm. That's Rob, odd.
That's so low. Where was I going with that?
You interviewed him.
You interviewed Rob Schneider. You know there's a rift between him and Sandler.
He's a Zen master.
You think there's a rift between Rob?
Nah, fuck, I have no idea.
You know,
he
recently had gotten a bit of trouble. He got fired from a lucrative advertising gig quite recently.
Oh, this is what I was saying, yes. And it links into what I was going
to
say.
Was it to do with... He was talking about...
He is a big believer that vaccines are causing autism.
He's a vaccine guy,
He's into a lot of that kind of shit, and he's very vocal about it online. And he was something like the spokesperson, like I think he might have been a hired voice or something for a medical company in the States. Because, of course, America and New Zealand, the only two countries that can advertise medicines to consumers. And in America, it's like huge industry. And he's the voice, I think, of a vaccine producer, like, you know, if you follow up the chain. And then he's coming up with all the shit online that has mercury in them and they're just like global population programs by the elite and shit.
And then they fired him and he was all like, what about free speech? And I'm oppressed and
stuff. He's insane, but in kind of a grand...
Did you miss
awesome
him
way.
In this film?
Well,
we can't say, can we? Or do you just mean
do you sit there going, wow, that scene could really have done...
I would never think of this film that there's one thing which could come in and fix it. But like now that you bring it up, I wouldn't mind just if they chucked in a bit of Rob Schneider.
He's actually kind of the grossest part of the first one because the whole gag is that he's got like a 65-year-old girlfriend. He's got this really old wife.
That's kind of
always
funny.
He's always pashing her. And
oh, really? Yeah. That's quite a good gag. So your question really is...
I've got a film to recommend to you, Tim.
Yeah?
Grown Ups.
Well, I'll tell you what. After watching the trailer for Grown Ups 2, the cinematic trailer, which features almost precisely zero content that made it into the cinema release version of Grown Ups, they've actually got some Grown Ups jokes in there, and they're like, they're all right. They're good. I giggled.
From the first one?
Yeah, the kid says... the adults are talking about getting wasted. The kid's over here, so Adam Sandler tries to cover for it, and he says... the daughter says, what's getting wasted, Dad? And he says, it's when you have too much ice cream. So then the kids start going, I want to get wasted.
Yeah,
I want to get chocolate wasted.
One. That's in the trailer for part two.
Yes, and like quite
so
a lot
bizarre.
Of it. Yeah, so about of the two-minute trailer for Grown Ups 2, like, you know, 15% of that is Grown Ups 1. And a lot of stuff that didn't make it into the... deleted scenes.
That's very common
in
with comedies,
I think
there's issues around false advertising with that, because one instance where that happened that really annoyed me was The Dictator, that recent Sacha Baron Cohen film.
Mm.
There were heaps of jokes in the trailers that weren't in the film, and it's kind of like, it's one thing to have your trailer fulfill a role greater than just a preview of the narrative, but if you set up a scene, then that scene comes along, you're like, oh cool, that joke's coming that I like. You're sitting there waiting for it, and then it never comes. You're like, what's happening? There was about three of the biggest laughs in the Dictator trailer just aren't in the film.
Shit, that's
and
weird.
I actually think that's false advertising.
Okay, good point.
Let's do something
point well
about
made.
It.
We need to get into
petition.
Our segments.
Yeah, we do.
Because we've only got roughly 10 minutes left.
I could talk about this film for hours.
I know.
I don't doubt it for
we
a second.
Do a
I'll just say one last thing, though. I think I kind of made this point earlier, but the reason I kind of felt a little bit of protectiveness towards it when I'd only watched it once until I was subjected to it a second time and I no longer feel overly protective towards it, yes, was that, as I said, it seemed like the film that people decided...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
They were going to just call Adam Sandler out for what he's doing. Like, can you believe what he's doing now? When it's kind of like, he's kind of been doing that for ages and that's always been a shtick. I think in a weird way, he's kind of been true to himself.
Yeah, you know?
Okay.
And I just, it's always, I like to fight cinematic snobbery at every turn. And people, it's very easy to be snobbish about Adam Sandler
completely.
Films. But
you've always kind of said, I'm paraphrasing, but your whole vibe, Dominic, is that you've got to assess a movie kind of on its own
totally.
Terms.
Totally, you've got to meet a film on its own terms. It can't be about what you want from a film. It's got to be about what that film's trying to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not the only way to see a film. Trying to assess a film.
Even with that philosophy and approach, Grown Ups 2, at a minimum, has an incredibly confused tone.
Oh, it's a bad film. Look,
it's a mess.
It's not. It's a total mess. There's no through line. It reeks of laziness, as you say. Like, I just...
Someone sent us an article this week suggesting that there was no script when they started shooting.
Yeah.
That's highly
like
believable.
Adam Sandler has come out and said we ad-libbed the entire film and then released it as a movie and made $180 million yeah. off it.
It kind of reeks of that. But there's also kind of something weirdly maybe awesome about that.
Oh, no, it's great.
I can see he's making the audience come to him. He's saying, yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you exactly what Adam Sandler thinks is funny. Yeah. And if you think it's funny too, then come on down.
Someone just adapted Friday Night at Adam Sandler's house into a movie.
It's like what most people turn into a podcast. He turned into a blockbuster summer.
Yeah. It has the production value aspects of it are what a sitcom does when they have like a very special episode. It's like, yeah, and there'll be a party and costumes and we'll have
the musical episode of any sitcom.
Yeah, or like this is or like the two part the family goes on holiday special and then there's a bit with a quarry jumping, you know. It's very innocuous.
Shit,
but I also like,
right.
Love
it reminds me of like a weird Happy Days special
yeah.
where they got out and did something weird for
yeah,
an episode
yeah.
or two.
And also just, it's always fun in Adam Sandler films spotting the nepotism, you know, spotting the people he's grouped yeah. with. But this film is constructed entirely of favours or whatever,
yeah.
you know, of just helping out past friends
yeah,
and collaborators.
Yeah, you theorised during the film that everyone who had a core role got to bring along four friends.
Yeah, and they all got to have speaking roles.
Yeah.
It's like in The Sopranos, they talk about no works and no show jobs. It's like these are a bunch of no work jobs. You just got to be there and you
it's
get
like,
paid.
Normally you get swag from these movies if you're in like
yeah.
a certain tier of the cast, but in this movie your swag is you get to bring two mates who are on screen
yeah.
for a portion of it. It's
I reckon and the other extras all won like walk-on roles from radio competitions.
Yeah. That's probably... Oh, shit. Yes. Thanks for reminding me. So Grown Ups 2 has a link to a front page story on the Today's Herald, which is a massive scam that's being run at the moment, where there's this casting agent guy who's created this like conference thing where a whole bunch of teenagers are being promised that they're going to get introduced to like Disney producers and things like this in America. So the first thing you go to is free, and then the second level is you pay them $11,000.
I've heard ads for that. It's like, do you want to be in Hollywood, you know? But the service they're offering is like, we'll assess your ability, we're talent scouts.
Fucking mental, bro. It's such a scam. And anyway, so Will Wood, actually, who's a fan of the podcast, he sent me this earlier this week. He sent me a link and he's like, bro, check out this scam. And I was like, this doesn't smell too scammy to me. But he sent it to me specifically because they quote the fact that some of the casting directors from Grown Ups 2 are involved in this thing. So they're like, we'll introduce you to the casting director of some Disney movie and some fucking other thing. And Grown Ups 2.
Grown Ups 2, who are particularly adept in casting people who paid for the privilege as opposed to have actual talent.
Exactly. And that $11,000 package that they're like selling to as many people as they can gets the kid over to America and like one parent, but not the airfares. So they like look after one parent or something. But it's anyway, it's fucking mental. And the hero done like a front page expose on this thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it
sounds like real nice old school scammery.
Yeah.
It's kind of charming,
like a return to a very analog form of scamming,
like something out of The Sting or something. It's kind of like
And the guy had such a great quote as well. They said like, dude, this really smells like a scam. And he said, I don't understand what's a scam. It's a real date. We have a real venue and we put on a real event. And if people don't wish to come to the second one, they can go about their wonderful day. That's literally what he said.
It's amazing.
They can go about their wonderful day. Yeah, a glorious story. Anyway, okay, so we need to rip into the first thingy, which is the Steve Buscemi mystery tour, which you corrected me in the film.
Steve Buscemi.
Okay.
Buscemi. And Matt Groening.
Yes.
Matt Groening is the creator of The Simpsons, not Groening. Groening.
I'm a pedant.
No, it's good. We're all learning, mate.
I just noticed something with the pause screen, so I don't interrupt. You know how you pointed out how one of the frat guys was Jared Sandler, who's obviously the nephew or something?
Yeah.
Just above the credits are behind us, by the way.
Just above him, Chris Titone. Titone is Adam Sandler's wife's maiden name.
Oh.
So that's some other nephew too.
Jesus, you've been dropping some knowledge throughout this movie and podcast. Ooh. We appreciate it, Dominic. The Steve Buscemi mystery tour is where you have seen Grown Ups.
I have. I can't remember the injury.
Yeah. So now, from the clues that you were given, 40% feeling in his body, the touchdown.
Is he talking to Kevin James when
he's talking to Chris Rock?
Chris Rock. Oh right.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I was going to say maybe Kevin James fell on him. Is that a good guess? Is that an obvious guess?
Could be. It could be.
I don't get how the touchdown symbol comes into play.
And maybe it lies the fun of the segment.
Because I know that basketball
creative
plays a role in the first one. Okay. There's a whole thing about, it's so funny how they do the stupid thing with jumping into the pool.
Mm.
Because a lot of the comedic value of the first one is swinging into a lake. It's like, oh, they really evolved that gag. I think it might be something to do with that.
Right.
Where this is just a guess, where like Kevin James comes off and lands on him or something.
That would be similar to the theory that I posited, I think, in episode 29, Prawn Salad. It was something to do with Steve Buscemi hitting the water in a funny way, because everyone in this movie jumps with such bad technique. I was like, well, maybe he was at the lake in the first one and he fucked up his jump,
so this
and
is
then he actually
gag.
Got injured. So it could, if it's a rope swing into water.
No, and maybe someone, when Kevin James landed on him, someone was like, touchdown, because he like landed on him.
No, but he says,
I like that.
But
I like
he says,
that.
But
I like
he says that.
That
his arms have been held in that touchdown position
for 2 years.
Because he ends up in a cast, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Of course,
I think it's very safe to assume he's in a cast that has locked his arms in the touchdown position for a very long time, and now he's still only got 40% feeling in his body. So based on those two medical clues, like go House MD on us. And
I'm going to go back to Kevin James Fell on him.
That would be so funny if it's true, because like it's just the same game. And it wouldn't surprise me. I'd just be like, yep, good on you, Sandler. You win this round again.
All right, on to the next segment as we whip you for a tour around the worst idea of all time.
Paddy Schwartz.
Party time. It's Paddy Schwartz party time. It's party time.
You guys are referring to Pat Schwarzenegger.
That is correct. Patrick, friend of the podcast.
I call him Pat.
I didn't know how to spell his name one time, so I wrote it down in my notes as Paddy Schwartz. Guy took one look at that and cracked the fuck up. And ever since then, a segment was born. And a nickname.
I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm going to follow him after this.
You should.
I revere his father, so...
Yeah.
I'll do that just to support Arnie. the segment is, I have to pick my favorite.
This is
Pat Schwarzenegger
moment.
Absolutely.
That's what we're after.
Well, there were two bits where he outdid himself with lamefulness rather. When he's following the you know, elaborate handshake gag,
yeah,
and he's kind of following with his head. He's been instructed to follow the moves of it as if he's enjoying it by the director.
Yeah.
But he's just basically kind of acting like a hummingbird, sort of moving his
yeah,
head around.
He reacts to every
and,
second of
yeah,
the day.
And he kind of just, it's almost like he's watching Tinkerbell fly around.
Right.
Something. He's like, oh, oh, oh.
It would be cool to isolate him in like a gif and then throw him in a different scene.
Yeah.
Like they did with that, you know, that flying bagel with the hockey player. Have you guys seen that? Sorry, I'm off track.
Anyway, he did that twice. And the second time he did it, I think I appreciated it more because he looked even stupider. And he was just sort of reacting too quickly. So that's going to be my favorite moment. The second time, he's following along with Milo Ventimiglia and Jacob Taylor Lautner. Sorry, he played Jacob.
Oh, you've revealed your twilight colors, mate.
Yeah, I just call him Jacob.
And why wouldn't you?
When he's following along with the handshake and he just looks like a dick.
He's probably thinking, all right, your dad's Arnie. You got to nail this, Petty. Okay. Just don't oversell it. Don't undercook it. Don't oversell it. Just get it just right. Okay, here we go. Here comes the action. Okay. Whoa, oh, hey, what's happening? Whoa, hey, whoa, oh, oh, hey, hey, whoa.
Hey, I've got a question for you guys. Do you reckon that Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider are going to be able to patch things up so that he can get into three?
Presuming that there's some kind of beef going on, because there's no official story about beef. I feel like if they had a falling out, I feel like Adam Sandler wouldn't mind saying that. So I'm still,
do you reckon,
not entirely convinced
Sandler,
that something bad happened. I'm still 51% believing that there was just scheduling issues.
This is based on nothing, and especially his films, but I think Adam Sandler's a nice guy.
Yeah,
I don't know why. I don't know why, because there's a lot of evidence.
I think he's a nice
guy.
No, well, it's similar to what Dominic was suggesting before, that it's just him with his friends. Like, you know, he comes across like a nice guy. Cause, yeah, his friends are in all his movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
His friends are some of the best parts of this movie.
Do you think that's a false flag thing? Like, I've been tricked into thinking.
No. I think he might actually be a nice guy as well.
How can we assess the niceness of a celebrity anyway, you know? Like, whenever you hear that apparently some celebrity is an asshole, I always think, well, how can, you know, there's probably someone who's going to say that about them.
Exactly.
You know?
And there's always one incident where you would fucking,
yeah,
you know, someone was tired and they
no
just
No one
got
would
off
hold up to that level of scrutiny.
It was like Justin Timberlake's in the country. Who was it? Oh, Miley Cyrus, who came the other day and the paper was like, oh, she, you know, ignored her fans who were at the airport. And it was like 30 people. I was like, maybe she's had a fucking long day, man.
Oh,
she's
God,
on tour.
Yeah. That's like, I remember the worst beat up like that was like, years ago, some shocking story about Peter Jackson had bought property in some area and they'd found some local who was like, he could have come down and shouted us all a round of beer at the local pub.
Oh, fuck you,
like,
man.
Oh, my God.
Well, the guy is technically right. That is something Peter Jackson could have done.
I mean, he could have done.
You can't fault
it. Was just
the tone
of the article was wrong. The guy was like, I'm just saying he could have done that. You know?
He also could have done
a lot of massive
hot air balloon.
Yeah.
And started his own hot air balloon festival called the Peter Jackson Hot Air Balloon Festival.
I'm surprised that Arnie lets a guy that skinny walk around claiming to be his son. That's someone that I Pretty sure classic Arnie would call a girly boy.
Listen, Arnold loves all his children, legitimate, illegitimate, here and far. He's a lovely man. He's a family man.
Did we see Patrick Schwarzenegger's legs in that film? Because you know that was his Arnie's classic weak spot as a Mr. Universe competitor were his calves.
Is that right?
He never had big enough calves.
He eventually did have big enough calves.
Oh well, that was just, I mean, in terms of him being one late night.
The main gripe.
That was his flaw if he had one.
If you like, Arnie's such an inspiration. He's such an inspirational figure. If you ever hear him talk, I've heard like extended interviews with him. There was a real good one on.
I love Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
He's a super clever man, and he just like, he's very self aware. He's a fucking governor of California. Like, you cannot be anywhere near a dummy and pull that off. And he doesn't have like an academic background.
I'm not concerned about his intelligence level. I just think he's awesome.
He made lots of money off construction when he moved to America.
Probably,
Did someone say this theory on the podcast before? He started a building company called European Building. It was like he put the word European in front of what they were offering. It was just normal building.
Yeah.
But at a much higher price.
Right.
Because there were these good-looking European guys building your house. It's like gourmet building.
Yeah.
And he made a shit ton of cash, and that's how he got his start.
God damn it. And his son can't act. And he can do anything.
His son can do anything, too.
I thought Taylor Lautner was kind of funny, playing a complete jerk, who's probably what he is like in real life.
Did you buy him? Oh, I guess he's not acting.
You can't buy any. There's no suspension of disbelief at any moment in that film. It's just,
no. What about David Spade?
It's a weird pantomime film. Well, he's
what about Higgins?
David Spade is. He does have stand-up affectations to his acting style, but it suits sitcoms and it suits sophomoric comedies like that. Man, imagine if David Spade did a dramatic role, like a punch drunk love kind of move.
I would love to see that.
Joe, I think he's got pathos.
Yeah, fucking pathos. I'm with you on that. We got to wrap this bad boy up. We got to put a bow on it.
We've also got to just check up our shining lights very quickly.
Hard out.
Bro. I like Braden Higgins acting at the party. Braden Higgins was having the best time shooting all of the scenes at the party. Braden Higgins' mouth is agape literally the whole time. He's got one speed and that is fucking happy. That was my shining light.
My one is also at the party. So Tim Meadows' wife, Mary, in the film, the character's name is Mary, is skiving off every time she's on screen if she's not talking. She's taking the piss. Hard. And there's a bit where they do, when Adam Sandler is fighting Stone Cold Steve Austin, or about to.
And they're doing the walk-off in a circle.
Shot. What's that shot called, Dom? Where they do like a pan around the... Is there a name? I don't know. Whatever. Is there a name for it?
There was lots of editing in the shot that you're talking about.
It's like, when they're doing the like when you particularly do a camera and just run around in a circle around two people, and
I think
like
it's a circle shot.
Circle shot. During that, so Mary is in the back and she's just like kind of waving at the cameraman, but she's slightly out of focus.
Little cat movements towards the camera.
She does not care, and you can tell Tim Meadows because there's other bits where she's skiving off. And it's unbelievable that those were the best takes. Like, those are the ones that made it through to the movie we're watching. And you can tell that Tim Meadows is trying to be like...
Tim Meadows is nailing it as well. She gets him a few times. She starts cracking him up as well.
He doesn't instigate it, though, from what I can see. Instigating everything. Eve.
I'm looking forward
Adam
to
astray.
Looking up who that actress is.
Yeah,
Sykes.
Don't say we didn't give you anything from this, Dom. There's a little treat for you. You can go home and Google that actress.
Yeah. I'm going to look at the IMDb trivia page for this movie as well.
It's fucking barren, man. It's real anemic. We actually need to jump on there and add a bunch of shit for the.
We are up to our eyeballs in Grown Ups 2 facts over here.
Totally. Shining Light is like a bit you liked.
Please.
The bit I liked in this one, trying to think of something I laughed at that I maybe didn't laugh at the first time.
I can give you some examples of when you laugh.
Yeah.
That's cold. The little baby's
yeah, but
that.
I've seen that a million times. No one needs to have that pointed out to them. There was one line. What was it? It was a really bad joke, and I laughed, and then Guy laughed at me for laughing at it.
Where was it?
I think it was something that David Spade said. When they're on top of the quarry, And they think they're about to leave, and the frat guys aren't going to let them leave because they're going to make them jump off. And they go to walk out, and he's like, "No, don't go that way." And he's like, "Oh, what? Is there an elevator or something?" Only Spade could have sold that line.
Dominic Corey, it's been an absolute breath of fresh air having you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We've been going deep into the rabbit hole.
It's a tough film to watch a lot, man. That last half hour really lags.
Film is your life. Have you ever seen a movie 34 times?
What's probably Commandos come the closest.
Man, great choice.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Do you think that anyone else in the world has watched Grown Ups 2 as much as Tim and I?
Do you know what? I really don't.
Would you say we are the world record holders?
Yes, unofficially.
Awesome. Like, fuck yeah. I'm proud of that. Okay, let's chuck a knife in this one, or a fork, or a bowl, or something. It's done.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dominic. It's been a treat.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
And as always, don't watch the movie.
Good God, don't watch
it. Like us on Facebook. See you next time.
Bye.
Love every moment.
I love every day.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.